Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf. Yivama is Daf Nun Gimel, the last Daf of Perek Rabban Gamliel. We are holding Anun Beis Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. So what happens if an Isha had Chalitza? And then the Yavam does Ma'amar, which is a Yibam version of Kiddushin. Does that Ma'amar have an effect or not? Rabbi Akiva says no. No way, because an Isha who had Chalitza is in effect a Chayove Lavin. Interacting with her is a love. And therefore, Kiddushin cannot have any effect on an Isha who is subject to a love. On the other hand, we have the Chachamim, who say, look, even in this case, Kiddushin is Taifis. Rebbe takes a middle approach. Depends. If it's L'Shem Ishus, then it's a Kiddushin. If it's a Kiddushin L'Shem Yabmus, whatever that means, we'll see in a minute, then it doesn't work. We have no less than six ways to explain this machlekes. Yesterday we already learned two. Today the Gemara will add four more. Says the Gemara, four lines from the bottom, Rava Amar. I'll explain to you the machlekes. Ida Amar La, B'mamar Yevamin. Suppose he approaches the Yevama. I'm doing Mamar, which is unique to Yevamin. Mamar Yevamin, that's how he calls it. To kuli amuli pligi de mahani. All agree, the kedushin is taifis. Va'achu b'mayaskinan ki going to amar lo iskachuli bezikas yivam. So we're not coming to explain Rabbi Akiva, who holds that it doesn't work because she's a chayav elavin. We're explaining shitas chachamim, who say that it's going to work in all cases, and Rabbi who draws that line between l'shem ishus l'shem yam, says Rava. He means like this: if it would been a kedushin l'shem yabmus, b'mamar yabmin. All agree. Even Rebbe would agree. The kedushin takes effect. V'ach b'mayaskinan. However, we are speaking about a case. Ki going to amar lo iskachuli b'zikas yivam. He adds the word zika. I'm doing a kedushin which rides above the zika, which reinforces the zika that you have with me. This is the point of Machlekes here. Rabbi Savar Yesh Zika. He holds of the famous Shita Yesh Zika that the Yevama is considered bound and tied to the Yevam due to the fact that she's awaiting his Yevam. That creates sort of a bond and a relationship. And when the Chachamim have taught us that Mamar / Kiddushin done to a Yevama is reckoned with, has value. You know why it does? It's based on the Zika. It reinforces the Zika. It strengthens the Zika, which is the basis, which is the background for the Mamar. It has something to support the Mamar. The Zika supports and reinforces the foundation, let's put it this way, the foundation for the Mamar. That's typically when there is Zika. But here there was Chalitza. Vasoi Chalitza Avkati leZika. The Chalitza removed the Zika. How can he make a kedushin bezikas yivam? There is no zika. That's Rebbe's shit. Rabbanan Savri ain't zika. They don't hold to this concept of zika. This being obligated. This nefila liyivam doesn't have the kayach of really connecting the yivam to yivam. And therefore, miikara initially meaning. Before Chalitza, when there was Zika, Eilu Amar Leiskashli Bezikas Yivamin. Suppose the Yavam tells her, I'm going to be Mekadesh you Bezikas Yivamin. Miloy Mahani, doesn't that work? Of course it does. It works because Mamar has an independent Kayach. It's not necessarily getting enwrapped with the Zika. Zika is not a significant factor to reckon with to begin with. Apparently, Mamar is an independent entity. No, Sashtanami, Mahani, here as well. Even after Chalitza, even after the Zika was removed, Mamar can still be introduced. Therefore, it works. Rav Shravi Omar, I'll tell you another pshat in the Machlekes. Bechalitza Ksheira, if this Chalitza that we're speaking about would have been a proper Chalitza, Ida Amar lo Yizkachi li Bezikas Yivamin, in that case, after Chalitza, he approaches her I'm making a kedusha in Yevamin. Skatchele bezikas Yevamin. Kuli yamale pligile mahani. All agree. Even Chacham agree it doesn't work. It's post chalitza. It's post zika. And this kedusha needs to come reinforce zika, which is no longer here. So what's the machlekes? V'acha b'chalitza psula k'mefliki. We're speaking about a case where the chalitza was not a chalitza kshera, not applied to a yibam enabled yivama. Rather, it was ready after a get, in which case she became disqualified from yibam. That's the machlekes. Mar saba chalitza psula peteris. Rabbi holds even this type of chalitza removes the zika. When zika is no longer here, you can't do iskashli bezikas yivamim. Umar saba chalitza psula ena peteris. Rabbanon holds chalitza psula doesn't dissolve the zika altogether, completely dissolve the zika. And therefore, there is some remnant of zika. And when he says iskachili bezikas yivamin, it has an effect. Rav Ashi Amar, the kuli alma, all agree chalitza psula ene pateris. No, if it's a chalitza psula, it doesn't remove the zika completely, and this type of condition would take effect. So what's the machlekes? V'hacha b'yesh tnai b'chalitza k'mifliki. He did a proper chalitza, but with a condition. Amanas, a condition that you pay me 200 zuz. Mar savar yesh tnai b'chalitza. Shitas chachamim is that you can apply a tnai to chalitza. It affects the chalitza. In this case, she hadn't kept her condition. She hadn't fulfilled her part of the deal. Well, the chalitza is not yet... It's not going to take effect. It's not going to take hold. Zika is still standing. And therefore, this kedushin can attribute itself to the zika and have effect. Umar sabra ain't tonight b'chalitza. No. Rabbi holds, chalitza is not something which can be subject to tonight. There's a sugi later on, daf kavav. In any case, that's his shita. Chalitza is a chalitza. Unaffected by tonight. Even without fulfilling that condition, the chalitza is still a valid chalitza, which removes the zika, which disallows this type of mamar. Ravina Omar Dukuli Yamu Yesh Tanai B'chalitza. Perhaps everybody would hold that a tanai can affect the chalitza. That's if it's a properly articulated tanai. V'acha B'tanai Kofu Kamifliki. The question is, how do you articulate a tanai? Do you have to do it in duplicate form? If you pay me the money, it's going to work. Otherwise, it's not going to work. You have to go through the positive and the negative. That's the shaila. Mar sovar be'ino tanai kafel. That's Shitas Rabbi. In order to reckon with a tanai, it needs to be a tanai kafel. Like we find by the tanai that Moshe Rabbeinu did with the Shvatim of God and Reuven. If you come help your fellow Jews, you'll get your inheritance as you wish, otherwise you won't. You have to go through both sides of the equation to really emphasize it. We're speaking in this case where he did a chalitza with a tanai, but not a tanai kafel. Rabbi says, that's not a tanai. Chalitza takes effect without regard to fulfilling that tanai, because it's not a tanai. Zika's gone. You can no longer do this. Hiskachili bezika sivam. Umar savar loy bein a tanai kafel. Chachamim disagree. You don't need a double tonight. Even a single file tonight works and affects the chalitza. As long as the tonight was not yet fulfilled, chalitza does not take a hold. The zika remains in place. And therefore, iskachli bezika sivamin works. Continues the Gemara. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Cholatz v'osam mamar v'nosan getu baal. This is back on the Afnun Amud Aleph, the first half of the Mishnah. One Yavam, one Yavama. We had four categories, four different possible variations of sequences. We had a case where he started with the Mamar, followed with something else, started with the Get, and followed with something else, started with the Chalitza, followed by other things, or started with Baal, and followed by other things. Interestingly enough, even though we just finished speaking about Baal, followed by something else, what does the Mishnah say? Ein achar Chalitza klum. Chalitza is the final destination. Mishnah could have just said, Ein achar be'ila klum, because that's the last category that's been discussed. Be'ila was the starting point, followed by something else. Mishnah should have said, well, be'ila, that carries the day. Why does the Mishnah stop and say, well, enach achlitza klum, and that's it? If anything, the Mishnah should have referred back to the most recent discussion where bi'ila was paramount. And that is considered the end of the road. That's Minat Torah. Abayi v'Rava d'Amar Tavayi, they both explain, you're right, t'ni, let's revise the Mishnah. Enach arbiya klum. Instead of saying enach achlitza, say enach arbiya klum, because bi'a is Minat Torah. That concludes the process. And once we have that, of course, enach achlitza klum is self-understood. V'tana didan. Why didn't our Tana choose this lashon? V'tana didan ha-toras yivama l'shuk adifale. Because the Mishnah was trying to teach us chidushim. And prefer discussing ways that the yivama is allowed to go marry out. That's the chidush. Even though this and this and this was done to her, she can go and marry out. Because chalitza is the final... has a final say, and makes her mutter. There's no shaila in halach here. Of course, the Tana agrees that bia is also the final word. But there's a chiddush ring to it when you say, well, enach achlitza klum, go out and get married. Okay, the Mishnah says, echad yevama achas, echad shtei yevamis. This concept of repeating, in all these types of applications, whether it's bia, chalitza, mamar, get, doing it repetitively, it applies to whether it's one yavam doing it to two yavamis, alternating between one and the other, or it's two brothers, or each one doing their own thing to the two yavam, to the single yavamis. You have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven does mamar to Rachel, and Shimon also does mamar to Rachel. It's all the same idea. The point is, when you do repetitive processes, you have to deal with them individually, as we explained in the Mishnah. So bottom line is, it's mashma, the Mishnah, that if you have one yavam with two yavamis, that same fellow has the capacity to do one mamar to Rachel and one mamar to Leah, and we have to deal with it accordingly. Mas nisin loike ben azai, which seems not to follow ben azai shita, who says that no, once you expend your resources, you're done. The sanya ben azai oimer yish mamar hamamar b'shtei yevamin. When there are two brothers, yeah. So each brother has his own power of mamar. V'yevam achas, right? You have Reuben and Shimon. Reuben will do mamar to Rachel, and so will Shimon. And you have to deal with them individually. But when it's just one fellow, he can't do mamar and then mamar again. It's over. Vein mamar char mamar b'shtei yevamis v'yavam echad. There's only one brother here. He doesn't have the power to do mamar to one yevama and mamar to the other yevama. He's expended his resources and he no longer has that power. Our Mishnah seems to indicate otherwise, because Mishnah clearly says that this halacha, this idea of repeating applications can apply even to one yavam with two yavamis. Keitzad mamar lezu. So Mishnah speaks about a case where he had two yavamis. He did mamar to Rachel. V'cholatz lezu. That's the Lashna Mishnah. Right? The fact that the Mishnah seems to be saying that the chalitza was going to be done to the other Yevama, not to Rachel who had the mama, rather to Leah, is a raya, Leah Masaeli Lishmuel. It would seem to be a raya to Shmuel Damar Shmuel, that you have to do the chalitza in the most optimal way. So you have Rachel and Leah. You did mama to Rachel, and then it's time for chalitza. You should not be doing it to Rachel. You know why? Because the chalitza to Rachel is not a complete chalitza. It's not going to really free her. She needs a get to address the mamar. So that chalitza is sort of an incomplete chalitza. And it's not going to exempt Leah, who needs a proper chalitza. Cholatz lebalas mamar, says Shmuel. Lo nifter tzarasa. Right? So if you do a chalitza to Rachel, who had the mamar, that chalitza is an incomplete chalitza, because it still needs the get to help it out. So it's not going to exempt its tzara. Right? Again, the Mishnah speaks about a case where he did mama to Rachel, v'cholatz l'leah. The Gemara is assuming the Mishnah is sort of advising us how to do it. And that's a right to Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, cholatz l'balas, mama l'nifter tzaras. If you do chalitza to Rachel, it wouldn't exempt the tzara. Rather, you're supposed to do chalitza to Leah. V'tiyuv to the Rav Yosef, and it's a kasha. Rav Yosef tells us back on the Mem Daled that a person should do chalitza specifically to the Isha, who in any case would become disqualified from marrying a kohen, such as in this case it would be Rachel who's going to have a get. In any case, do it to Rachel. Mishnah seems to indicate you have to dafka do it to Leah. Answers the Gemara, not so quick. Mik tani chaylitz? Does the Mishnah tell you? Is the Mishnah then advising you how to do it? It says, chaylitz to Leah? Chaylitz katani. That's what happened together. It's after the fact. It's not advising you how to do it. Mishnah's not giving you recommendations. Simply describing a chain of events. Continues the Gemara. Get lezu, v'get lezu. So if you give a get to Rachel and to Leah, Mishnah says that they need a chalitza. Get lezu v'get lezu. I'm just reading in the Mishnah back on the Nunam Beis. Srichais heimenu chalitza. They need chalitza. The Gemara is assuming that srichais is dafka, meaning they both need chalitza, because since Rachel got a get and Leah got a get, they have become Yibam disabled. Right? The get sort of detaches them, it disqualifies them from Yibam. Of course, this is Rabbanon, but that psul doesn't allow for a proper chalitza, because a proper chalitza means a chalitza given in a Yibam situation, in a Yibam enabled situation. This is a chalitza psul, and therefore you have to go make your rounds and give each one a separate chalitza. You can't be mitzi one with the other ones because it's not a proper chalitza. Leiva maseili l'rav rav huna. Doma rabba bar rav huna. Chalitza psula tzricha l'chazer al kol ha'achin. That if it's a chalitza psula, you have to make your rounds. You have to go to all the brothers. Each brother has to make his own chalitza. Such as over here, chalitza psula. Each yivama needs her own chalitza, and as Rashi points out, the Mishnah later tells us the same thing applies when there are, there are two brothers, two yivamin, and one yivama. Right? And each one gave his get to this yivama. Each brother needs to do his own chalitza. That's what the Gemara is assuming. The same concept of repetitive chalitza applies when there are two brothers with one yivama. And that's exactly Rabbi's halacha. You need to make your rounds. Go around to all the brothers. Each Yivama needs a separate chalitza. Each brother needs to give a separate chalitza. Is that a raya from the Mishnah or not? Says Digma, once again, it's not necessarily a raya. It's just a question of semantics here. And the question is how you define the word tzrichais. My tzrichais. Tzrichais doesn't necessarily mean they all need, in this case they all need. Tzrichais da'alma means that whenever you encounter such a situation out there, then chalitza is required. How many chalitzas? Perhaps one is enough. So there's no raif in the Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah spoke about get lezu v'chalatz lezu. So you have a get to Rachel and chalitza to Leah. Mishnah says, "Einacha chalitza klum." That's it. Chalitza is the end of the road. Now, why does the Mishnah say that get was given to Rachel and chalitza only to Leah? It would sound from the Mishnah, dafka to Leah, because Rachel shouldn't be getting chalitza. She's already been affected by that get. She's a psula. Right? She's disqualified from Yibam, therefore the chalitza should be given to her counterpart. Leima Masayel Shmuel. Oh, this is pretty much like a repetition of the previous Gemara. The Chavid is a right to Shmuel. That what? You're not meant to give the chalitza to the one who was puzzled, rather to her friend. V'tiyuv to the Rav Yosef, and Akash on Rav Yosef, who tells us otherwise. And says the Gemara, the same as before, Miktani Chalitz. Does the Mishnah then give us recommendations? Do this? Cholatz ktani. But the Yavid was speaking about what happened. So it happens to be that he chalitza to the other Isha. But he could have just as much given chalitza to the first Isha. Cholatz v'cholatz, cholatz v'chulu. This is towards the end of the Mishnah. The category speaking about chalitza being first, followed by something else, followed by a mam or by a get, etc. What does Mishnah say? Ein acha chalitza klum. Right, chalitza is the end of the road. The kash is this is similar to what the Gemara asked before, but look closely at the end of the Mishnah. The last category is really the case where Baal was first. So he did Baal and then he did something else, whether it's mamar or get or chalatz. Why does the Mishnah sort of ignore that sequence? The Mishnah should have just gone back to the most recently mentioned sequence, which is Baal being first, and say, well, ein achar bi'ilaklom, right? Bi'ilah is the final word. But listening, nami ein achar bi'oklom. Why didn't the Mishnah say that? Abayi v'ramad amrit avayu. You're right. Tani, let's revise the Mishnah. Ein achar bi'oklom. Bia is the last and final word. V'tana didan. Why didn't our Tana mention that? Hataras yivama l'shuk adifalei. The Tana preferred discussing the chalitza, enacha chalitza klum, because that pertains to the fact that the yivama could marry out, which is a chiddush. So even though there was chalitza with something else, no, chalitza is effective. It has the final say in the matter, and she's muta l'shuk. But of course, in halacha, there is no machlekes. Yibam has the same effect. Yibam is the final destination, and can no longer be affected by anything else. Now the Gemara will focus on a very specific case, a case where there was chalitza done to Rachel, and mamar to Leah. Mishnah says it doesn't work. Why? Because as we explained, the Mishnah is following Shitas Rabbi Akiva, ein kedushin toifsin mechayev elavin. Once the Isha is a chalutza, she is subject to a lav, and therefore Kiddushin does not have any effect. Now, before we begin the Gemara, we have to go back a bit. Back on the feud, we had a machlekes between Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yechanan holds that when a chalitza is done, Shimon is chalitz Rachel, he exempts the other brothers. She exempts the other Yevamis. It's as though they are all experiencing this process. It's sort of a shlichus. Shlichus shel adam kemoise. And just as Shimon with Rachel is chayav elavin, because Shimon is the choletz, Rachel is his chalutza, is a lav if they interact any further. Right? Kibin shel yivne, shel yivne. But there's no more chorus here. She's not an ordinary sister-in-law. She's a chalutza. So just as we treat her as a chalutza to him, we treat her as a chalutza to the other brothers as well. Because it's as though they all experienced the chalutza. Likewise, when it comes to her fellow Yevama, the contemporary Yevama, the other Yenashim there, the other tzaris, it's as though they all experienced chalutza. And therefore, if any of the brothers interact with any of the Yevamis, there's only a lav and not karis. Rish Lakish says no. Between Cholitz and Chalutza, between Shimon who did the Chalitza and Rachel who received the Chalitza, there's only lav. She is a Chalutza to him. That's it. Not to the other brothers. The other brothers, she's a regular sister-in-law. It's karis. And likewise, the other Yevamis, the other tzaris, were not subject to chalitza. Once again, they're regular sisters-in-law. And there's karis. So getting back to the Mishnah, there was chalitza done to Rachel and mamar to Leah. Mishnah says, well, ein kedushin toifsin, kedushin can't be applied to an isha who's a chayav elavin, because she's a chalutza. B'shleim el Rabbi Yochanan, this works according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar. Kula besa b'lavkoi, the entire family, the entire household, has a lav. Karis is no longer on the table. All brothers are considered like they did chalitza. All Yivamis are treated as though they experienced chalitza. Yisruch lashmi'inon, therefore the Mishnah has to tell you that if chalitza was done to this one and then marma to the other one, or if this brother did chalitza and then the other brother did mamar, it doesn't work because the ain kedushin toifsim chayiv lav, and because the fact is there's a chayiv lav and the kedushin doesn't work. It's not chorus, it's just lav, but Rabbi Kiva holds kedushin and lav are incompatible. Ela l'Reish Lakish, according to Reish Lakish, who holds the only individuals who are affected by lav is him and her, the chaylitz and the chalutza. But everybody else has karis. El Rish Lakish Damar Kula Vesa Bekaris Kai. The rest of the family has karis. So the other brothers or the other Yavamis have karis. Kula Vesa Bekaris Kai. Of course, Kiddushin can't work by Chayave Krisus. That's not a Kiddush. Istrich Lashminan. Does the Mishnah now then have to come tell us this? The Ein Kiddushin Taifsin B'Chayave Krisus? That a Chayave Krisus situation can't allow? Can't accommodate Kiddushin? Of course not. It's Pashat. Why does the Mishnah have to discuss this? Amalach Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish responds, you're right. It's a good point. V'litamech according to you. Sefer Diktani. Let's look at the Mishnah later on. Baal V'osam Mam. So you have Rochel and Leah, two Yavamis. And this Yavam Echad, goes over to Rachel Baal, goes over to Leah and does Mamar. Mishnah says, well, after Baal, it's over. Ein achar, be a klum, it's over. Is that a chiddush? Of course it's over. Yisrach lashmi'inon nein kedushin toifsin be'ishas ish. Is there a chiddush? That Shimon, right, Reuven and Shimon and just one Yivama. That's what Rashi learns. Reuven and Shimon and one Yivama. So Reuven does Bia and Shimon does Mamar. To the same Yivama. Is that a Chiddush? She's an Eishes Ish. She's already married to Reuven. So what's a Chiddush? Ella, I did a Tana. Hataras Yavam Echad. Yivama Achas. You're right. Not every case in the Mishnah has a Chiddush. Sometimes the Mishnah just, you know, goes through a list, you know, for to keep the symmetry. Keep the, you know, the cases matching, you know. So I did the Tana, because we speak about the Torah, Siyavam Echad, Vivama Achas. Once we discuss a case where there's only one Yavam, faced with one Yavama, and that's a great Chiddush, even according to Rish Lakish, because here we're saying that it's only one Yavam, his Shimon, facing Rachel, he does Chalitza, and then he does, he follows with a mamar to the same Isha. And remember, he is the chaylet, she's the chalutza, it's only a lav. Still, the chiddush of the Mishnah is, you should know that kedushin can't work by a lav situation. That's a chiddush, that's a true chiddush. So on account of that case, which is a true chiddush, we just complete the list. We go through the other evaluations as well, even though they're not really a chiddush at all. So on account of that, tananam ishtay yevamis v'yavam echad. We go over to the case of two yevamis with one yavam. Although over there it's not a great chiddush, because as we explained, the other Yavama, that's Chayav Krisis. She's not Chalutza, she's a regular sister-in-law. V'ayde de tanush de Yavamas Yavam Echad. Once you discuss two Yavamas, one Yavam, we just complete the symmetry. Tananam yishte Yavaman v'yavam achas. Two brothers with one Yavam, which again is not a chiddush, as we just explained. Continues the Gemara. Let's go back to one Yavam and one Yavam, which indeed is a chiddush. Chalitz v'asam mamar. So he does chalitz to Rachel and does mamar to Rachel. Or does chalitza and does a get. We go through all the variations. Why are they necessary? What chiddush do they contain? Let's go through the cases. Bishleim chalitz v'asam mamar. I understand why you need to tell me. In that case, it's worthless. Why is it worthless? Remember, we're following Rabbi Kiva. Once he does chalitza, there's a lav, and mamar has no effect. Why is that a chiddush? Istrich, there's a chiddush here. Sakda de chamina, perhaps I would say, nigzor mamar de basa chalitza. Perhaps I should make a gzir. Even when it was chalitza and then mamar, so mamar followed chalitza, in which case Mamar has no effect. Again, Rabbi Akiva holds Kiddushin can't be applied to an Isha that has a lav. But still, perhaps we should obligate a get in this case. Why? Nigzor Mamar de Basa Chalitza Otu, because it might lead to another case. On account of Mamar de Kame Chalitza. If you ignore the Mamar in this case, perhaps you'll ignore the Mamar done before Chalitza, and that's problematic. That needs a get. So maybe apply a get here as well to avoid confusion. Kamash Mlon de Legazrin and the Chiddush is when not Geyser, no? When it was Chalitza and then a Mamar, ignore the Mamar. That's a Chiddush. Ella, but in the next case, where's the Chiddush? What's the next case? Cholatz. And then Venasan get. So it's one Yavam, one Yavam, right? He did Chalitza to her and then gave a get. Lamali, what's the point of mentioning this halacha? That it has no effect. Of course, so, I mean, it's already after Chalitz. Why even mention it? Willi tameich, according to you, let's dwell on a different case. Amos safe. Move on to the next part. Ba'al v'osam mamar, ba'al v'nosan get. Mishnah speaks about a case where there was, right, one yavam, one yavam. So either it was bia and then mamar, or bia and then get. What does the Mishnah tell you? Bia is the final destination. So let's say there was Bia and then Get, that's fine. He was Miyabim and then he divorced her. There's no more Zika here. What's the Chiddush of those cases? Isn't that obvious? Bishlam and Baal v'nosan Get Istrich. I understand why the Mishnah mentions this case. Baal and then a Get. Don't worry about the fact that there was a Get. No, the Get actually addresses the Baal. She was married and now she's divorced. And there's a Chiddush latent in that. There's some sort of a lesson being taught. There's a Chiddush. Why? Perhaps I would think that there should be concern here. Nigzor get the basar be'ila. A get that followed bia can't just finish the job. Can't just disengage them and divorce them. We should still require maybe a chalitza as well. You know why? Ought to get the kame be'ila, because this might lead to confusion. It might lead to another case where he'll do get before be'ila. And I'll say, well, last time I saw the get was very effective by Yevama. It was Bila and then get, and she went home. Here as well, a get can disengage the Yevama. He won't realize here we're speaking the get before the Bila. She was still a proper Yevama with Zika. So in order to avoid that confusion, perhaps I should say, you know, any get applied to any Yevama, even after Bia, where the get theoretically just does a complete job. No, don't reckon with it completely. Still have to address Zika. To avoid any confusion. Kamash one, the Chiddush says, no, the Lake Azrina, we're not guys, everybody realizes. It was a Yivam, and then a Get. So that's a Chiddush. Ava Bava Samamar Lamli. Well, I mentioned the other case. He was Baal, and then did Mamar. So it's mentioned, don't worry about the Mamar. Of course, don't worry, she's his wife. So what's the Chiddush? So apparently, you know, not every case in the Mishnah has a Chiddush. Sometimes we just, you know, go through the cases to complete the symmetry. Allah, I did a ton of cholatz, v'asa mamar. Once we just mentioned cholatz and then mamar, ton of nami bal v'asa mamar. So we go to that case as well. V'aydi, the boy l'meimar, right? So cholatz v'asa mamar, that's a chiddush, as we explained before. Right? That's a chiddush. Don't think there's a gzera of mamar after chalitza on account of mamar before chalitza, right? We explained that before. That's a chiddush. So on account of that, it also goes to the its sequel. Baal v'asa mamar, even though that has no chiddush, she's his wife. And likewise, v'aydi de boi l'meimar, baal v'nasa get. Once we want to discuss the case of baal followed by a get, which is a chiddush, as we just mentioned, I don't think that the get or yevama should not be reckoned with completely, because it might lead to a get before the bila, and of course that's inappropriate. So on account of that, that's a chiddush. We're not concerned about that. On account of that, tananami cholatz v'nasa get. We go to the other case as well, the sequel, which is cholatz and then a get. Even though in that case, there's absolutely no chiddush, because it's done. Once the chalitza is done, she's chalutza. He can't marry her relatives. What more can the get add? So bottom line is, we have four cases. Two have a chiddush, and the other ones are just sequel cases. Okay, one more piece. Mizmanshi. So at the end of the Mishnah, we learn that chalitza has the final say. And Bia has the final say. Remember, these are Minat Torah. Therefore, they carry the most weight. Now, in the Mishnah, we had two shittas. We had Rabbi Nechemia. He says, look, irrespective of its position in the sequence, irrespective of where the Bia or Chalitza took place, before, after, get, before, doesn't matter. They carry the most weight, and they end the process. Chachamim say no. Chalitza will end the process, but not Bia. Only a Bia Kshera, Bia which was done as number one. The first lot, a proper Bia, that can have a proper weight. But otherwise, it's a Chalitza Psula, and it's not a clear-cut conclusion to the story. Mas Nisan Deleiki Aitana. Our Mishnah is in dispute with the following Tana, the Tanya. Abba Yosi ben Yochanan Ishu Yishalayim, that was his name, Ishu Yishalayim Oimer, Mishum Rabbi Meir. We are not mechalik, we don't distinguish between Yibum or Chalitza, Achaz Be'ilah, whether it's Be'ilah, Achaz Chalitza or Chalitza. V'tchila Ein Acharei Aklum. If it's the first on the list, while she was unaffected by any other event, any other get or mam, then we say, it's the final word, it carries the most weight, it concludes the process. It's Minat Torah. But if it's Be'emtza, if it's somewhere in the middle, we got a slot somewhere in the middle of the sequence, something else was already done before the Bi'o Chalitza, Uba Soifa, certainly if it's at the end of the sequence, preceded by all kinds of other things, Yesh Acharei Klum, in that case, we have to reckon with things that were done even after the Bi'o and the Chalitza. In conclusion, we have three shittas here. Tanakama Savar, the Tanakama of our Mishnah holds, that Chalitza is absolute. Wherever it's done, wherever it's on the sequence, whichever slot Chalitza was inserted, Chalitza is the final word. Bia is different. We already explained this back on Daf Nun. The Gemara went through a whole explanation why a Bia Psula is problematic. We'll go through it briefly, but the Iker Sugi is back then, if you want to back over there after the Mishnah there, at the bottom of the Amud, Nunamud base. According to Tanakama, we differentiate between a Bia Psula and a Chalitza Psula. Why? Bia, the Ikalim Migzar Gazrina. When it comes to Bia, where there's room for Gzeris, we're Geyser. But Chalitza, the Lekalim Migzar, like Gazrina. When it comes to Chalitza, there is no room for Gzeris, as the Gemara explains back over there in the Nunamud base on the bottom. Therefore, Chalitza, wherever he is, concludes the process. Be or not. That's a Shittas Chachamim in the Mishnah. Shittas Tanakam. Rav Nechemi Savar, be or not, like a lemixer. No, even by Bia, there's no room for Gzera. It's not going to lead to confusion. Wherever that Bia is situated, whether before, after get, before, after mam, it doesn't matter. Einachar Bia Klum. And he explains briefly, look, Amr's Ligzer. You're concerned about a gzera, ligzer, bia, achar, get. If there was a get and then bia, you can't give that bia the most, the most recognition. You can't give it the proper recognition, the proper respect, and say, well, it overrides the get that preceded it. Why? Mishum bia achar chalitza, because next time it might lead to a bia done after chalitza, in which case, of course, it's problematic. People will say, well, look, last time I saw a get and then bia, the bia worked. So next time when I do chalitza to Rachel, I'll do bia to Leah. Of course, that's aser. That's what you're concerned about? Says Rav Nechemia, no concern, no worries. Given the Chalitza Darais, everybody knows the difference. Chalitza is Minat Torah. That cuts off the Zika, Meida, Yadi. They all know the difference between Chalitza and a Get. So one thing won't lead to the other. Although Bia after Get has effect, but not Bia after Chalitza. You can't compare. Udaka Amr's Ligzor Bia Achar Mamar. What about the other Chashash? If it was a mamar and then bia, you're saying, well, bia in that case is not so effective. Why? Mishum bia acha bia, because it might lead to a person doing bia and then another bia. Bia to Rachel and bia to Leah, which of course is us. We're not concerned about that confusion, says Rav Nechemia. Everybody knows the difference. Given the bia deiraisa, ha mei deyadi. Everybody understands. You can't compare bia after mamar, which is only the rabbanon, to bia after bia, which is deiraisa. So therefore, I don't hold that these chashashes. And I don't draw a line between Chalitza and Bia. Wherever Chalitza is done, it's the final destination. Wherever Yibum is done, it's the final say. That's the second Shita. So Rabbanon are Goyzer by Bia. Rabbi Nechemiah is not. And here comes the third shita. Rabbi Yosi ben Chanan savar lo k'rabbanon. He holds in concept like the Rabbanon. The Gazi Rabbiya. They're concerned about a Bia Psula having too much value, and they did not consider it. They don't give it the same weight as a proper Bia. That's number one. And he goes a step further. The Gazar Chalitza Mishal Bia. He says even a Chalitza Psula should not be given much respect. It's not considered the end of the road, because you want to maintain that attitude towards Bia. Bia and Chalitza, you know, are pretty much two parts of the same equation, two halves of the same coin, and therefore you have to treat Chalitza like Bia. And if it's a Chalitza Psula, we will not say Ein Acha Chalitza Klum. So bottom line is we have three shitas regarding the value of Bia or Chalitza. According to Rabbi Nechemiah, wherever they are situated in the sequence of events, it's over. It ends the process. Rabbi Yosi takes the opposite approach. He says, only if it's first on the list, a proper Bia, a proper Chalitza, but otherwise, it can't be given that regard. Chachamim say, Bia, we are concerned, but not Bechalitza. Hadron Aloch, Rabbi Gamliel. Continues the Mishnah. Habal Yivimte. So this fellow is approaching Yibum. So he lives as married with his Yivama. In all types of variations, it has the same effect. It's koina, the Yivama. Be'mishoigig, whether by accident. He thought it was his own wife. She thought it was her husband. Didn't realize that he passed away. So say the Rishon. Be'mimezid, it was done on purpose. Rashi says, l'shem znus, not l'shem mitzvah. So all types of variations, it's going to make the kinyan. Be'mba'oines, whether it was against their will, it was by accident. Bain Baratzain, whether it was done willingly. Afilu Shogig Vimazida. Even if they're both not involved, they're both not mindful of the mitzvah. He thinks it's his own wife and she's doing Lashem Znus. Or who mazed Vihishagegas? Who anus? He was being forced to Vila Yanusa, not she. He anusa, she was anusa, Vulayanus, he's not. Echada Ma'ara. Whether it's only a partial physical connection, Vechada Goimer, or complete physical connection, Kana. It makes the kinyan. The Torah is not machalik between this type of bia and the other, whether it's the front, the back, vaginal, anal, it doesn't matter. The same concept, the same principles applies to any arayis. Or ipsulis, or cases where there were nashim that were pasul l'kahuna. Kigoyin, for instance, almana, l'kohen gadol. A grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedid. Mamzeres, or nasina, that nation of Nasinim, who are not allowed to marry Yisrael, and they intermarry Yisrael. Or Bas Yisrael, a Jewish girl, the Mamzer L'Nosim, Pasul, and all these cases, it makes her Pasul L'Kahuna, and there's a case, there's an issue of punishment, etc. V'lo Yichilek ben Bia L'Bia, it doesn't matter what type of Bia, whether it's a complete or incomplete, or Kedak, or Kedaka, any type of physical connection has the same effect. Maya Filo, Mishnah says, well, the Bia to the Yivama is considered an effective experience, whether it's Shogig Mezid, and the mission says, Afilu, Afilu, who's Shogig Vimazid? What's the point of Afilu? What are you adding? Loim Yibayi Ka'amar means like this. Needless to say, Loim Yibayi, not only if it's who's Shogig, if only he is not into it, he's a Shogig, but Vihika Machavna La Mitzvah, she's into it, she knows what she's doing, La Mitzvah. Not only in that case does it work, when there's one party who's mindful of what's going on, Inami, or alternatively, who mazed it? He has all kinds of other thoughts. Now l'shem mitzvah, he become machana l'mitzvah, and she is mindful of the mitzvah. So at least there's one party who's participating properly. Elo the chiddush is afilu who shogig v'imazida. He is shogig, she is mazed. The tavayu like a machana l'shem mitzvah, they're both not into the mitzvah. Afilu achikana, the fact is, the experience by default makes a kinyan. It's min hashamayim. Isha hiknu min hashamayim. This type of experience automatically affects a king. Tani Rabchi. Rabchi explained further. Afilu shneim shegigim. Shneim mezidim. Shneim anusim. They're both by accident. They're both bemezid. Or both doing it unwillingly. It works. Now what does anus mean? Anus namas nisne chidami. How do you illustrate an anus in the case of a bia? Ilei mekishan su evde kechavim ubo aleo. Non-Jews forced him. They coerced him to engage in bia. That's not a proper oinus. The experience of bia compels personal involvement. Va'amar Rava. Rava tells us, Ein oynis la'erva. When it comes to erva, there's no concept of oynis by the man. Why? Levish ein kishu elu ladas. The physical interaction entails a stiffening of the aver, the kishu. That only happens through a conscious mind, through a cognitive awareness. That can't be forced upon a person. So there's no oynis concept by arayis. What do you mean it's oynis? Elo b'yoshen. Oh, we're speaking that it was during his sleep. Rashi says, shenis kasha kshu yoshen. It was kisha during sleep, and that's when there was a bia interaction. So he was forcibly connected to the isha in this state. Well, that wouldn't work in any case. That can't create a kinyan. V'amar Rabbi Yehuda, read it, tells us, yoshen leikana b'yivimtoi. Doesn't make a kinyan, Rashi says on top. Yoshen leikana de yoshen lav bar das. Lo yehav a kinyan a kinyan. A person lies asleep. He doesn't have the ability to make a kinyan. That option doesn't work. Elo benitka, says Rashi, on the first line on top again. Beniska, sheniska shel ishtoi. He experienced kishoi with the intent of interacting with his wife. V'nafel menagag v'nitzka b'yivimta, and he fell off the roof, fell off a high place, and there was a connection with his yivam. Perhaps that's what the Mishnah means. So he was not asleep, he was awake, but the mice, bia, was against his will. Well, that wouldn't work either. V'amar Rabba, Rabba tells us, nafel menagag v'nitzka. In this type of case, chay ba'bo advarim. So if he abused a woman in this type of circumstance, he's chayiv to pay compensation, full compensation. Nezek, damages, tsar, pain, ripui, healing, v'sheves, loss of wages. But if this happens with his yevama, he's not kinda because the actual physical encounter was not done by kavana. So although the kishu was b'kavana, was l'shem ishtay, and he was fully awake, but the moment of connection was not l'shem, was not b'kavana at all. He wasn't mindful of what was happening. It was just circumstantial. It was by way of gravity. So that can't be pshat in the Mishnah. That wouldn't be a kinyan. Rather, we have one more pshat, one more option, which accounts for all these concerns. El kegon sheniskaven le'ishta. What happened was that he was miskaven to interact with his wife. And that created the kishri. V'takfosa yivimtoin. His yivama forced him. Ubo aleo. And created that connection with him. So in this case, he was not sleeping. In this case, it was a kishu ladas. And at the moment of that physical interaction, he was aware of what was happening. It wasn't like he was being pulled down by gravity. It was just a nafal min agag, and he was totally unaware of it and totally not mindful of what was happening. Here he was fully aware at the moment of that interaction, although it was forced on him. But there was a sort of a das levia, and therefore it's considered superior to all those examples. In this case, the Mishnah maintains that he's kind. Shnei manusim v'rebchia echidami. What's the other case, or rebchia, where both are anusim? Kigon sheniskaven le'ishtoi. So he experienced kishui for the sake of his wife. V'takfuhu, or v'takfum, oidekuchavim, Goyim came along and forced them both, yavam and yavam, v'davkim zebezeh, and forced them together, u'bo'aleh, and created that bia. So once again, there was a kishui, and he was aware during the moment of connection what was happening. So although it was against his will, it was an oynis, totally oynis, the fact is, it's a proper kinyan, and he was Yotzi the Mitzvah. Okay, let's do a brief chazar of this very challenging daf. So we learned about chalitza that was followed by kedushin. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's worthless. Chayav elavin, ain't kedushin toifsim chayav elavin. Chacham say it works. Rabbi says, well, if it's l'shem ishes, it works, but not l'shem yavmus. And today we had four separate pshatim in understanding the machlokes. So Rabbi learns, because he spoke about kiddushin bezikas yivamin. Rebbe holds yesh zika, and typically the kiddushin is based on zika. In this case, it's after chalitza. There's no longer zika. Rav Shravi learns, here there was a chalitza psula. Still, Rabbi holds achlitz of psula removes the zika, which doesn't allow for this mamar anymore. Rav Ashi learns that Rabbi holds tonight does not affect chalitza. So even though he made a condition, the chalitza is unaffected and is still impactful, removes the zika, which doesn't allow for this mamar, or according to Ravina, Rabbi holds, you do not need, Rabbi holds, you need a tonight kafel, you need a repetitive tonight, in order for it to be an effective tonight. In this case, he did not make it tonight kafel, and therefore, the tonight does not affect the chalitza, which now removes the zika, which doesn't allow for the mamar. The Gemara discussed all the various cases in the Mishnah and had all kinds of diyukim. And then we went on to the last piece over here with the bia and the chalitza. Do they have the final word or not? According to Tana Kama, the bia, unless it was done at the first slot, which is a big shera, if it's done anywhere else on the sequence, it doesn't complete the process, and we still have to reckon with things that were done afterwards. Whereas chalitza completes the process. Because by bia there's room for gzeris and confusions, but not by chalitza. Rav Nechemi says, whether bia or chalitza, wherever it's done, it's the final say. Abiyesi goes the other way. Bia or chalitza, if it's done in any other slot other than the first, we make all kinds of gzeris, we don't consider them to be the final say. Then we learned that bia on the Yivimtai is effective whether b'shoigig, mezid, oynes, and ratzin, whether they're both in that state of shoigig or mezid, or one of them, it doesn't matter. Either way, it's a kinyan, and she is his wife. All the best to you, and much hatzlacha.